inside every one of us. There exists a dark side. Most people rise above it, but some are consumed by it.
Michael?
Until there is nothing left.
Welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 151. This is the Halloween special that me and Z normally do every year. I'm your spoiled host, but damn, I fucked that all up. I'm your spoiled host, the phenomenal one, goddammit. Yes, and I'm here alone because, well, let's just say Cody kind of ran Sammy off with his, let's just say his words of triumph and victory over her and the future movie spoilers trivia rumble coming down. And he just made her tuck her tail in and just run all the way little Skywalker. That's the way she went right there. But people, so, you know, usually we do a poll up and put which Halloween movie should we review. This time I just said, fuck it, I'm going to do it at the bulk of the strings. Because I'm not going to lie, I kind of forgot Halloween was this weekend. I really did. Well, not even this weekend. It was yesterday. But still, nonetheless. So, when we first started this, we did the poll. I think Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie one remake. The Halloween 2 there. Or reboot, or whatever the hell you call this series. We got that one done. And then we did Halloween 2, the original. And then we did the one with Paul Rudd. I think it was The Curse of Michael Myers or something like that. Well, now, I'm back here today, all by my lonesome, here to do a little scariness talk with you. Where I'm doing the Rob Zombie Halloween remake itself, reboot, whatever the hell you want to call it here. Let's just go ahead and get into a plot synopsis here. So, the only difference here done here is that there's an origin story. Oh my god, that's so cute. It's an origin story. It's an origin story of how Michael Myers became the murdering psychopath, supernatural super being that he is today. And that is pretty much your plot synopsis here. Well, basically, so he's got a fucked up life. He's already killing animals. I mean, he takes his first frustration out on a fucking bully. And I got to tell you, all the people that died in here, I tell you, horror movies, man, they don't want you to care for the people that are dying. Because throughout the whole movie, while you watch this, I was just looking at it, I was just like, you know, I kind of want them all to die because they're all a bunch of fucking pricks and dicks. So, yeah, this kid that he killed, I felt no sympathy for it. I was like, yeah, beat his ass with that stick more. Yeah, teach him talking about your mama like that. What the hell's wrong with this boy? And then you get to the other kids who he killed and you're just like, but then it got later into the film. You're just kind of like, okay, he's just bored now and just prologuing this movie. But once he kills him, which nobody never finds that body, by the way. He kind of moves on to killing the rest of his family because, let's just say, mom goes out to work. His stepdad or whatever the hell that's supposed to be is constantly talking shit to him, calling him a little faggot and shit like that. And this dude's just a piece of shit in the first place. He's already, like, checking out Sherry Moon Zombie's Deborah Myers, who played... come on now, crying out loud, Rob Zombie. Putting his wife as fucking the mother of Michael Myers. And he's checking out... her daughter in the film and stuff like that, and she's supposed to take the Michael out trick-or-treating, which, by the way, little Michael Myers is played by Dave French. I forgot his fucking last name. Whatever. And then he was at 10 years old. So Michael Myers say, okay, you don't want to take me trick-or-treating? This douchebag in here is constantly talking shit. Well, I'm going to murder you all now. That just seems like the most logical step. He duct tapes his stepdaddy up to a chair, slits his fucking throat, takes his sister's boyfriend and smashes his head in with a baseball bat. I said, hey, that worked to a cool effect. And then he goes up in there, cop a fill on his sister real quick, and he stabs her. I think they said 17 times it was. And next you know it, he's got the baby. They're sitting outside. Mother gets home. And she goes inside, and she starts screaming her ass off. He gets initiated into an insane asylum, Arkham Asylum, if you will. And this is where Malcolm McDowell comes in as Dr. Samuel Loomis, who comes in to kind of help the boy, or at least think he's helping him. And then next thing you know, let's just say years go on where Michael is first in denial of him even doing it, the incident of killing his folks and stuff like that. And then it gets to a point where he just stops talking until he just ends up... Which, by the way, this nurse, she fucking deserved it. I'm not gonna lie. This is where the kind of final string of the origin story of his upcoming stopped or whatever is when the nurse comes in when Michael McDowell's walking Sherry Moon Zombie out to her car. And the nurse is just like, "Huh, cute baby. Looks nothing like your ugly ass." I was just like, what the fuck? Come on now. Come on now. I said, you gotta be shitting me. I was like, okay, alright. Yeah, this bitch deserves to die now. I said, just go ahead and kill her ass. So he ends up stabbing her ass with a fork. Mother kinds of to lose her shit. And next you know it, that's when she says, well, I can't take this no more. Mother decides to commit suicide. Michael hasn't talked in 15 years. We fast forward here. Dr. Loomis, he says, you know, I'm kind of done with this. Then, 15 years later, you got these two dickhead security guards who ends up releasing an inmate there, if you will. And they end up taking her to Michael's cell, where they end up raping her in Michael's cell. And Michael says, oh, that door's open? Kill you motherfuckers and kill everybody up in here, and then I'm going to escape. And the way I'm going to do that is by going to a truck stop and killing Big Joe Cletus, or whatever the hell his name was. I'm Big Joe Jackson. Yeah, I think that was his name is, because you got Danny Trejo in here, too, who plays one of the guards. Mikey, I was always on your side. It's like, shut the fuck up, please. Because the dialogue in here is terrible. Next thing you know, Michael returns to his hometown looking for his little baby sister, Lori. Oh, wait, he doesn't have to really look hard because he already knows who she is and found her and everything. And there goes your plot synopsis there. I gotta tell you right now, the plot makes no fucking sense. Because the fact that they say later in the film that Lori here, who is played by, who is she played by? I forgot the damn girl's name now. Okay, I gotta look it up now, people. I gotta look it up. Lori, where the hell you at? Lori Strode. Oh, Scott Taylor Compton. I knew it was like Compton or something like that. Scott Taylor Compton. I love her friend here, Danielle Harris, Annie. Whew. That girl's fine as hell up in this goddamn movie. I was just like looking at that. I was like, she's like 40 now, by the way, too, if I'm not mistaken. Let me go ahead and click on her real quick. 1977, people, you believe this girl in this movie was born in 1977. She was playing a high school girl. 2007, look, we're looking about 10 years from now. So she was about 30 years old in this film. God damn, that girl looked good. She was sexy as fuck, I'm not gonna lie. I don't blame that dude for getting on top of her and working that out. But the plot is stupid because the officer says, the cop in here, who's played by Brad Dourif, he says, oh, you know, there was this report that went in and Michael killed all his family. We saw his little girl, so we kind of sent her to the next town, and then his family out here adopted her, and we never told her really what happened. So she has no idea that Michael's her brother or anything like that. So how in the fuck, after 20 years, does Michael know who Laurie Strode is? How does he even know that's his sister? They give you no story about that in this whole film. And if you can't tell where I'm going with this, this movie's a piece of shit, by the way. And they give you no story to tell you anything about how he knows that's his sister. There's no photos. There's no evidence. No one in the town knows. Even the adopted parents don't even know that. The only person that knows that is the cop himself. And now Dr. Loomis for him telling the story. Other than that, it's complete slate. What I don't like about this film, first of all, is, look, I know people love origin stories, but when it comes to these supernatural beings, which they still don't really explain that shit, to be honest. Actually, the second one does. I take that back. They got a white horse in there to tell you everything you need to know. Kill them all, Michael. They deserve to die. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck that movie so much. But this one, I at least that one I kind of laughed at. But this one, I got to say, it was just complete boring. First of all, the fact that this kid just became this supernatural being, and it's pretty much the prequel syndrome here with little Annie is just like, ugh, God. You come up here with Michael Myers and they teach you all this evidence about, how he's such a menace and how terrifying he is, and that's the look of evil. And they hone that shit in multiple times, especially with Dr. Loomis here, because he's got that book written out on him. And they're talking about the evil in his eyes and what he's made to. I love it. Even when Dr. Loomis, man, that dude just He has got to be the funniest goddamn thing of this whole series. I don't care what actor plays him. He is just hilarious as shit. Because when Michael escapes from this asylum, this dude is just like, oh my God. He really sells the fact that evil is loose now. It's like Michael McDowell character, Dr. Loomis. It's like he's seen a goddamn alien invasion or something like that, because I love his facial reaction, especially when the dead animal is on the grave, which I don't know what the hell that was. Like, who grave was that, by the way? And Dr. Loomis, he just stares at it, and he's just like, hey, where you going? This pet cemetery guy, he's like, I can tell you that wasn't no kid. And it was like, what kind of sick fuck would do this or whatever? He's like, that's the face of evil. I mean, the dialogue is just pretty goddamn awful, I gotta say. There's a line in here where his sister is getting ready to fuck her boyfriend or whatever, and he's like, oh, what if your dad hears her? She slaps him. She's like, that ain't my daddy. He's like, I'm sorry. My daddy's in heaven with the angels. I was like, oh, God. That is the worst line I have ever fucking heard, possibly in a horror film. It sounded hokey, sounded country, it sounded just wrong, and it just came out of nowhere. It was delivered terrible too. My daddy's in heaven with the angels. Word. I would have been like, I know this bitch about to give it up now. I know. I am like in there. I'm in like Flynn on this girl right here. Like, she stands no chance of withholding the D. I'm getting all of the D in this. Yes. Yes, I am, people. And then you get down to it with Michael becoming this silent, maniac type and stuff like that. Which, look, I don't have a problem with that part. Is the whole part of the plot of the movie to me is just depending on, why did he go to Lori? And by the way, Lori is fucking boring as shit. Okay? She is just boring. She's this goody good two-shoe who babysits these kids all the movie. And these kids are pretty much giving exposition, minor exposition, of what the boogeyman is. Which is, it's a lead way into Michael Myers here. And it's basically just no story being told. It's just basically Rob Zombie using visuals like he always does in his films to tell the plot points of what's moving on here. And then I realized the movie is just dragging on as I'm eating my cocktail shrimp and drinking my red wine. I went classy with this, people. Yes, I did. The movie just drags on because there's moments where in broad fucking daylight, Michael Myers is just popping out behind trees and shit like that. And he's just looking. Nobody's quoting anything. They're not saying anything. He's just looking. He's staring. He's like from a distance. There's even a part of the movie where I got confused as to Lori's foster parents, if you will, which I guess she believes it'd be her real parents. They give her an envelope to say, hey, make sure you drop that in the mailbox. And she drops it off at the old Michael Myers house where he returns, because this movie's got to show you how to get that mask, which, by the way... How he gets that mask was the biggest fuck you of the whole goddamn movie. Basically, it was just a fucking Halloween prank that the sister's boyfriend had or whatever. And it's just like, word? Oh. You know, people always wonder when they see these type of movies back in the day, they go, oh, what's the mythology of this? Why does he wear that? And when you find out why he has that mask, why that mask is his reason for what he wears and his chaos of destruction, you just look at that and go, like, that's the stupidest fucking thing ever. And they got to show you not only the mask, but the knife that he uses, because it's a one-of-a-kind knife that he used to do his first slaughter with. It's the first knife he's ever used, and he still kept that knife. That knife didn't rust or anything like that. It just got a little dirt. Spit shine that up, shine that sumbitch, turn that sumbitch sideways and stick it straight up all the masses up in there. And that's exactly what he did. She drops this envelope off in the Michael Myers old residence. I'm like, what the fuck do you need to drop? What? What is going on here? Does her father own this company? Why would he own this shit? Nobody wants that motherfucker, okay? This house has a history. It has I don't give a damn you tell her or not. You look it up. You can look this shit up, all right? There's a reason why. And it's funny because that no one knows of Michael Myers, even though the kid is just going like, oh, Lori, you're not supposed to go to that house.
that house is, it's where the boogeyman lived at and stuff like that. And just like, okay, how does the fucking 8-year-old know about this and no adults know about this place? You're making me scratch my head and think about this more now. And then the movie actually more drags on when there's multiple chances he could have got Lori, but he doesn't. He goes after the friends and family for no odd ass reason, too. There's moments in here where I think the first one clearly, now this one I do get. They were in his house. He takes out one of the friends because she just got done fucking her boyfriend. That's all everybody does in this goddamn movie, by the way, is just fucking and giving bad dialogue and drinking empty cans of beer. Every fucking can they drunk from was empty. You could even tell. That's how bad the effect was here. But whatever. So, I can see why he killed them, because they snuck into his house. They were getting ready to fuck. And it lasted about 2 seconds and stuff like that. Next, you know, Michael's like, man, I want some of that ass too. Shit, get your ass over here real quick. And, you know, he ends up killing both of them. I see why he killed them. But then he goes and killed Lori's foster parents. And I guess that's just for the plot of just saying, oh, Michael needs to kill a bunch of people now. No. And he kills them in the most unconventional way possible, too, because it was just like, there was no need for that. And was that Negro just hiding in the bushes the whole damn time? Because as soon as Lori leaves, she gets in the car, drives out with her friend. She's going to go babysit, doing what she does most of this movie, because she's a boring fucking character. She gets in her car, leaves off with a friend. And the wife goes in the door, and as soon as the father is about to go in the door, next thing you know, bam, Michael comes out the bushes, slits his fucking throat, drags him in the house, throws him down. The wife, she's already sitting down, she's got this flabbergasted look on her face like, you're not the pizza man. Ta-da! And the next thing you know, he ends up killing both of them, and it's just like, what was the point of that, by the way? Oh, and he's constantly showing her photos of Lori, but it's just like, if you were in the bushes, Negro, you just saw her get in the car. Go follow the car. It was just him killing for no reason, to be honest. There was, like, really no purpose behind it. I know that people are probably saying, oh, he's a killing machine. He's a force of nature. That's what he does and stuff like that. But in this movie, it made it try to seem like he had a motive, what he was trying to do. And none of these people came across his motive or got in his way to get into his motive or anything like that. So it just felt like just very unnecessary. Now, if they would have been in the way, then yes, I could have seen it. Like, there would have been a way to kill the parents, trust me. You know, as soon as Michael would have came to the house, she would have ran back to him. Let's just say the parents were trying to protect him, then he could have just slaughtered them there. But no, he does it in a way it was just like, that didn't make any damn sense. Next thing you know, instead of just going after Lori, because she's home alone with two kids and stuff, like, no, he goes after her next friend, the fine-ass one I just talked about, which was Annie, played by Danielle Harris. God damn, that girl is fine. Jesus Christ. And he goes after her, but he doesn't kill her. He killed the boyfriend, stabbed the fuck out of him, actually. And then I guess he just, I don't know what he did to Annie. It was dark as shit. She was covered in blood. I don't know if he cut her up a little bit or whatever, but he didn't stab her or anything like that. She just, no shirt, and then he hungs the boyfriend. I forget that part. So then when Lori comes over to drop her Annie's sister off, she finds the body on the floor. She doesn't really have a reaction to it at first. She's kind of like, oh. And then she goes, oh my God. And the next time she didn't care about the hanged body. Just it's like, this fucking dude's got a pumpkin on his head. He's being hung and shit. And the friend, she's just, hey, Lori. And then she calls the hospital, the ambulance or whatever. And then next thing you know, it's just a chase between her and Michael. And it's clear that Michael, that's a fast motherfucker in this movie too. I was like, damn. And she gets away the most convenient way possible, but then next thing you know, she goes back to the house, locks herself in a door, a glass door behind that, because, oh yeah, that's going to hold him back after he just busted down two doors. She gets taken by Michael after all that screaming she did. I guess she just screamed herself to pass out, which was fucking ridiculous if you ask me. She wakes up in Michael's basement that is locked up like no other tea here. This rundown house has that many locks on the basement door. Michael must have been doing some repairs, I guess. She stabs him, gets away. Loomis, I guess the cops said, fuck all the gunshots and stuff like that. I just got to protect my daughter now, you know. Loomis ends up putting bullets in Michael, but that don't really work. So Michael ends up tackling Lori outside of a glass window, and I guess she lands on him, and she shoots him in the head or whatever, and that's the end of the movie with her screaming because she's just a terrible actress or whatever. I'm not going to say she was terrible. I thought she was fine. I just think her character sucked or whatever. Especially because the girl that was playing her, she seemed like she had a lot of energy. She looked like she did have camera presence and stuff like that. The material she was given, it just wasn't really giving her much to do. And since they're not going to explain the backstory of who Michael is to her, then it
pretty much is just like nothing for her. It's not her fault. Nothing for her to do with periods whatsoever here. I don't even think the kills were that good, to be honest. For something that was just so bloody for with Michael, it seemed kind of PG-13 in a way. Like, I thought of him as a kid. Those killings were a little bit more gruesome and showing than the ones of him as an adult. When him was an adult and wearing the mask and stuff like that, it was rather, I mean, I think he choked her friend's boyfriend out. I mean, he hung with the other boyfriend or whatever, but, you know, you don't really get to see that after he stabs his ass or anything like that. So the killings are weak. I think the story here is weak. I don't even think Rob Zombie does what he does best in his visual aspects of the film. And overall, Michael Myers was just boring, and the origin of it just came out stupid. So, yeah, not to make this a little really short because, you know, other things to be planned here, such as, that Movie Spoilers YouTube channel, which is coming, which really needs a lot of work that I need to work on. So that's coming to a theater near you, if you want to say that in a way. So I guess to wrap this up, I didn't enjoy this movie at all, and I got to give this a fuck it. I think this movie is pretty goddamn boring, and I know some people probably like it too, but man, this remake here, I gotta tell you, at least the second one made me laugh, as stupid as that one gets, whatever. But this one is just boring, paint by numbers, really nothing new, and the stuff that is new here is just shit that you didn't want to explain in the first damn place. And the stuff that they really don't explain still is how the fuck this motherfucker can take bullets from a 93 Magnum or whatever and shit like that. It's just like, yeah, like the gunshot partner said, you want to fucking put that sumbitch down, you use this Magnum right here. And it's just like, yeah, how is he withstanding that? Did he sell his soul to the devil or something like that? That would have been, well, no, I take that back. That wouldn't have been cool, actually, in this movie at all. So, yeah, definitely going to give this a fuck it. Now, normally, this is the part of the show after we get done with the review where I like to go ahead and get into questions. But I looked over some of the questions there, and a lot of them were first pretty much on Sammy's thoughts and feelings on how I pretty much, apparently I was mean to her last time we did a show together, and ugh, all these lies towards me and this slander that's just put on me. I was the nicest I could be possibly to her. But so I'm gonna go ahead and skip those and just go ahead and promote a few things like I normally do, such as our new YouTube video that's up right now as I speak, which you can go ahead and check it out. Go to YouTube.com, of course, type in there craft beer and a movie or movie spoilers, and hopefully that comes up. I don't really know if we have too much recognition right now on YouTube to just type in movie spoilers and we'll pop right up, but just go ahead and type in craft beer and a movie, and obviously you'll see my handsome face on there. Actually, you'll see Cody's handsome face on there. That's right, people. I did somewhat of a parody of Cody's craft beer in the movie, and I think you guys will enjoy this. I think you guys will quite enjoy this, so go ahead and check that out. Also, it'll be on the site as well, so you can head on over to MoviesPostPodcast.com, check out everything we do over there, whether it's videos, reviews, podcast shows such as like Throwback Tuesday, Movie Spoilers, King Falls, and Spoiling at the Movies. And also you can subscribe to the website, which is the easiest goddamn thing ever to do. It's right there on your right hand corner when you head to the site. You just put your email in and you'll get notified and updated whenever we do a show and whenever it goes posted, whenever it goes up. It's pretty much like your own newsletter to the website, so why not do it? Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Movie Spoiler Pod. I'm also on Instagram at Phenomenal01 and Google Plus at MoviesPoilers_TPO. Well, that has been another edition of Throwback Tuesday. Hope to see you next week. That has been this edition, our Halloween special, if you will, of, well, Halloween remake, obviously. I am your spoiling host of the most, the Phenomenal One, and I hope to see you guys next week for another edition of Throwback Tuesday with episode 152. Later, bastards.
Behind these eyes, one finds only darkness. These are the eyes of a psychopath. This August, Rob Zombie.